Hi, this is Joe Rand. I'm excited I may be coming to your home soon. For 25 years, you have been coming to Inman Connect. Now, Connect is coming to you. Find details at inman.com.
Hi, this is Brad Inman with my Daily Dispatch. Super excited today. It's another in this series I'm calling Tales from the Trenches. The reality of real estate. Why real estate people are so important, because they're constantly solving these gnarly, sticky problems. And right now we have new gnarly, sticky problems, thanks to COVID-19, that raging virus we've all heard about. And I got two pros here, and they're a husband-wife team. I hope I got that right. And I've got one of the famous people in the Inman community, Heather Ostrom, and I've got her husband, Steve. And they're partners in business and partners in life, right?
Yes. Yep.
Welcome. How are you two doing?
Great.
Fabulous.
Yeah, what else are you going to say? You're a realtor. I'm kidding. I love you.
We're melting well. We're good.
Yeah. And we had a reason to lock up the kids for this little hour period.
Good.
Threaten them a little bit.
Yeah. But we've been really close the last 2 months. So.
Oh, I like that. Well, you know, I confess, I like TikTok. And one of my favorites is when the parents duct tape their kids and put them in a box and put them in the garage.
Yeah.
And that sounds really horrible. I hope no one's doing that. But the point is, you know, a lot of people with children must be feeling it. Mine are grown, so.
Oh, yeah.
It's gotten dark. I mean, my husband's making like jail marks on the walls now. So it's like,
That's great. Hey, let's tackle three things. We talked beforehand, three issues that I think just in each of these tells you some of the challenges that are kind of not all COVID centric, but more intently now. And one was, and I got the language wrong. I think, Steve, you thought of this one, but either one, jump in. Like listing ready, because you're listers, you're realtors. You're based where again? Tell us.
Roseville, California. It's a suburb.
So that's on their way to Tahoe from San Francisco.
Exactly.
Yeah, like we're between Sacramento and Tahoe. Trucking area.
It's a real nice suburb. We're known for our schools. It's our selling point. So
I remember years ago when I wrote for the San Francisco Examiner that HP moved there, and we all said,
yes,
the second Silicon Valley. Did that ever happen?
Well, we have HP, but guess who our number one employer is now? It's pretty sad. It's Kaiser and Sutter Roseville.
Not sad.
Sutter. It's two medical places. Anyways, but yeah, HP was number one forever, and now they're number three. But we've had a few more technology people coming in here.
And the FBI.
And the FBI, too.
Oh, good.
So we are doing well, but Sutter moved their back office. I don't know if you know Sutter. It's a big medical.
Yeah.
Moved back office.
Well, interesting. Well, let's tackle this. So you're in the kind of listing side of the business. That's been your focus. You obviously represent buyers, but that's where you focus. But you were talking about now more than ever, I think you used the word turnkey.
Yeah.
And why, tell us what that is and why that's so important now.
That it's ready to go. And I think a lot of times we tell people, you know, put the workout in now before you go on the market, instead of wasting that first week in the market when you get the good people in there, make sure it's ready to go. Take care of the little things you need to do to make sure it looks right.
Mm-hmm.
We've been getting a lot of landscapers out beforehand to make sure the yard looks right. And it makes a big difference when it looks ready and ready to move in. I don't find people looking for fixers right now. I find people looking for things that are ready to go where they don't have to have people in the house. They can just...
And I don't know if this is everywhere, but right now we're having a lot of VA loans. So we have to be extra mindful of these items.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of pest work or the roof's about to go. So it's like we're watching some of the trends and it's gotten tighter. There is a ton of buyer activity, but it's a very specific buyer. And it's not always, you know, you might sell it on the first day, but it might just be one or two offers.
And it's better
to get this. We had a report yesterday, I think, that said, don't fool yourself. It's not a buyer's market. But is that different where you are? Is it a buyer's market?
Definitely a seller's market under 500,000.
Yeah.
Because there's just not enough inventory here.
Yeah.
Well, you still got to be able to go through your finger and pick up the dust and make sure nothing's broken or people won't want it, right? Is that kind of
what it is? You know, and we're voicing our concerns up front, like, hey, look, before you might be a little more loosey-goosey, because we had a monster January and February, and we couldn't even barely keep up. And through December, usually December is quiet.
Yeah,
and so we thought, holy Moses, I can't imagine getting more busy. So you could kind of like not be as tough on your presentation of the house because it was going to get sold. And then like when COVID hit, you know, things got quiet for about a month and then we just started picking up again.
Yeah.
And we couldn't barely keep up. But we noticed a trend that ones that we thought were going to go first day or second day might have been like 3 or 4 days or a week out. Or even longer.
Yeah.
If there was like just even the furniture, was too much furniture in the house or the roof.
and I hate to say it with the COVID, but the vacant ones were selling. You know what I mean? The vacant ones were going like that.
Yeah.
The ones that were
people. Yeah, yeah, kind of. Who wants that? You know, that. Yeah. Look at that couch.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, and also too, it's just like anytime we create more friction, it's like it's just another obstacle. And people, yeah, you know, and a lot of sellers, if they had young kids, we couldn't get into their houses, and I don't blame them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. This is a very personal question, Heather. You just used an expression I don't think I heard for 20 years. And the reason I like COVID, I know I don't like the virus, but the times, is I'm remembering expressions and stories from childhood because I've slowed down and had a moment to reflect, and I love it. But I haven't heard holy moly in a long time. Where are you, where are you from, Heather, that you got holy moly in that vocabulary, girl?
Hey, Brad, if most people know me, they know that's probably one of the cleaner terms I've used.
Well, I love that. Hey, let's move on to number two. And I heard a case, and I know you can't talk about the details, but we're all anticipating, hopefully not ugly, hopefully not too much trouble, but I call it forbearance to foreclosure. Your story isn't exactly that, but you run into a forbearance story. Tell us about the complexity of that and what you've had to do as a realtor to help, I assume, that homeowner or whoever it is.
What we, you want
to? No, well, so actually I was talking with one of my lenders, Tammy McNeil, and she kind of ran into a scenario or two where she said, hey, this happened at the last minute and you can't get the payoff demand for the seller from, because it's not even listed. The forbearances aren't even being listed on the preliminary reports. So if the title companies haven't come across this, it could be a last minute nightmare. It's not that it can't get done, but
it just
just slows up.
Well, let me just understand it for our listeners. So I'm selling, right? And I went to B of A and I said, give me some forbearance, right?
Mm-hmm.
No recording of that. It's almost like a handshake, I guess, whatever they do. I haven't asked for it, but, and then I come to sell and then, is that where the complaint, do I have the story wrong?
Exactly. You have it exactly right. And then not only the forbearance is new just because it just started happening of this time around, but we have had a few where people have had it from the last time around and they don't know that when they go to sell, it's still there.
Wow.
And so we've had those issues where people think, oh, yeah, that was 3 years ago. I'm done with it.
Where the title company's asking for the original paperwork.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, yeah.
It's like that time I yelled at that bicycler for doing something, and it's got on YouTube, and I can't get it off my internet history. And
yeah,
I really wasn't yelling. I was laughing, but it was misinterpreted. I'm kidding. these things hang with us forever, right? And they
yes.
complexities. And this gets deeper. Go for it.
Guides you just because it's the thing is where I'm usually very proactive about getting my sellers like, hey, where are you at on this? Where are you at on that? That dialogue about the forbearance, I haven't been, you know, I'm just assuming the preliminary report's going to detail this and I go over everything to make sure that there's things that recorded that haven't been cleared, you know, and the dialogue about forbearance, I haven't had that dialogue to ask my sellers about it.
Because so we got to get up to speed in that, and we should probably have Inman do a story like, what do you do under those circumstances? Maybe I could persuade you two to write a guest story on it, or we could figure out something.
You know what? I think you should talk to Tammy McNeil. It was amazing. Okay. She just bailed my tail out because she gave me the cues, like, here are all the specs. This is what I've done. She did all this research for me, and it was invaluable having her as my asset in my corner.
Well, yeah, please introduce me to her because I'd love to get, you know, some of this to our Inman community because they're going to face it, you know, you can anticipate this. Let's now probe deeper. You were talking, Steve, that preliminary has to be clean now, but it's hard because the bureaucracy's shut down and frozen and they haven't caught up with the reality of a transaction. But tell us about that and how you deal with that.
So was it 6 months ago? We had the worst one ever that the people had refinanced during the downturn. And it was a title company that was out of business.
Oh, that's right.
So she had already packed up. You know, she had bought the other house and moved. She had to go dig through all of her paperwork to find it. And then once that happened, we just said, oh, screw it. We need to look at the prelim right up the front and make sure they know of what is on the property because they weren't recorded correctly. And so now this month, we've heard three times where they can't find somebody at the mortgage company or the work to get it clean, to get it clear.
Because a lot of these companies, like two or three people have taken over.
Yeah, and we've also had the problem with HOAs now have been a pain because they're not full staffed.
Yeah.
And so you wouldn't think of it.
But you know, it's just a matter of getting ahead of things.
Yeah.
You know?
That's Heather's saying exactly right. You gotta have them get ahead of things and say, hey, did you know about this huge loan? The house is worth $700,000 and you have $900,000 loan on here. Well, it could be attached to a business. But you have to have that conversation up front because people sometimes don't realize it's different things,
but very similar to a lot of the short sale activity where you have to be a lot more involved with ensuring, because your sellers don't know what they're doing. They just assume everything's okay.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Sherry Chris. I'm excited to be coming to your home soon. For 25 years, you have been coming to Inman Connect. Now Connect is coming to you. Find out details at inman.com.
Wow, you know, it's amazing. Realtors always been problem solvers, but there's now a new set of those problems that we're going to have to overcome.
By the way,
if you figure out any solutions to, I want to use the F word, but I will. friggin' crazy association stuff. I have a property that Yaz and I like to enjoy, but when we go there, we don't like our neighbors because they run this association like a bunch of batshit crazy people. But anyway, I'm kidding.
it's like, are they the garbage can patrol?
Yeah.
Oh, pretty much. You wouldn't even believe it. And Yaz and I run a fun life. And, you know, if you have fun, someone sees it, they get envious. And then they decide to complain about Yaz hanging out her sheets, you know. And she's reminded them we shouldn't be using the community laundry room during COVID. Maybe it's a good idea to hang our sheets up.
I know, but you know what? Just what you said.
Yeah.
That's what I've kind of said to a couple agents and lenders. It's like, we got to just shift our lens because your literal solution isn't working right now.
Yeah.
Just a creative problem solving is just like, and that was the thing about this downturn. Everyone was freaking out and and some of our tools weren't ready for 3D tours. And I had to start building my own websites. And it's just been, there's been a lot of good development. Like, to me, I feel like I'm a better agent right now.
Oh, that good. That's great to hear.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I feel like I'm really a mama bear right now, but it's been really good. Cause I feel like our clients really know that we're taking extra good care of them because we're not an attorney state. So we have to do, we're from start to finish.
Yeah. That's great. I love that. Hey, by the way, audience, I got to tell you something. We're only audio, but these two dressed up for my interview. I'm dressed like a trash dog, but they're.
I didn't know.
I had an appointment before, an appointment after.
Now I'm just shaking my shirt. Yeah.
Here's a recommendation. So keep the kids locked up. And now that you're dressed up, there's a fancy new restaurant in Roseville. I don't know if you heard about it.
No.
Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic. And it's open. Take an Uber from your bedroom or living room there?
Living room.
To go to this new restaurant called The Kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
It's really fabulous.
That place is.
Anyway, hey, let's talk about you two. I'm impressed. Your husband, wife, your real estate partners, as you know, that's a very common in real estate. I always think it's beautiful. At one time, you owned a brokerage or bigger
team? No, we were a team. We had a big team with a short sale agent, buyer's agents, and all of that.
And then did the COVID disband that team, or was it
I think, you know, a couple were ready to go on their own. She was an amazing agent. She kind of went on her own. And then the two others, we switched brokerages and they stayed behind.
Gotcha.
But I really am happy with them because the thing is, we are kind of different because I'm a graphic designer and marketing. Yeah. I just talk too much, so I had to get my license. So he's like, all the production goes under him. But I feel like it's been a good thing because we really are mindful about our lanes.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Another thing I think that was important, I didn't like dealing with their issues. You know, I like dealing with my clients, taking care of my clients. Yeah. But we know our strengths now, and we refer out the stuff that is not our strength, like buyers. We refer out to certain people, and we can set them up with people that are better for that, but we're not under that team. So it's working well for us, and we can just...
Well, you know, the great thing about husband and wife, or family, there's bad about family. We all know that, right? I started a business called Buck and Brush Brothers when I was 12 years old, and I learned a lot of things. That business doesn't scale, and never work with family again. But and I love my brother, but he was kind of kind of a dipshit then. But anyway, it is beautiful because, you know, for one thing, you can trust each other, right? You're bonded in so many meaningful ways that trust is a big part of a partnership. Also, I would suspect now being lean and mean makes sense because you got to focus, right?
You know what? I mean, how much paper we had to dump. As far as the print materials that sellers always, you know, a lot of the stuff is like just to make people happy. Right now we are lean and mean as far as our materials that go out to marketing. And I'm really proud of where we're at right now. Yeah. Like it's been shaved down and it's a good way. It's more efficient. So we're focusing on the right things. And I think that's going to be one of the best things that comes out of this as far as the real estate industry is just let's just focus on what gets it done, not more fluff. Okay.
Well, and we all know, and I know in all my businesses over the years and multiple recessions, if you can preserve that essential business and customer base and infrastructure, whatever it be, in your case, technology, all the other tools, your know-how, you know, all goodwill, the other end is going to be happy days again, even if it's tough now. Yeah. You know, this is the bloody summer of COVID 2020, which it could be for a lot of people. If you can get through it, you know, if you can get through the knot hole, you just will all be stronger when it's done. Hey, any last words for the Inman community? I know they love you. And by the way, gang, this made me happy to see their faces, to see them together. I have a talk I got to give in 10 days to connect now. And I just recorded it and sent it to some colleagues. And the overwhelming message back to me was, God, Brad, give us a little more lift here. Yeah. You're a little too sober. And it's not like your audience doesn't know about COVID-19.
Well, it's not like we haven't been crying either. But you know what I mean? It's like, but like our attitude dictates how the transaction goes. So if we believe it's positive, our clients are going to believe. And we need hope right now.
Yeah. Hey, I am going to tell you, our old boss was Jeff Corbison. I don't know if you know him, but he said something to me in the last downturn that stuck with me then. And I took it to heart and I wanted to tell it to other people. Now, he said, in times like this, those people that are the old listing agents that have their names everywhere, the signs are going to be out longer. You know, every downturn, a new agent emerges, you know, and I heard that. And I said to myself, I'm going to make that me, you know what I mean? I'm going to go out and I'm going to let those other old people that were, you know, the signs go away. Hey, that time I wasn't a huge agent, but I worked hard and I made myself one of the bigger agents as far as a listing agent in this area. Every downturn, new agents emerge out of nowhere. And some of the older agents go away because they can't keep up with the technology and
they
can't keep up with the market.
Well, they don't want to because really it's a mindset. Like right now, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep on moving. And like I taught myself how to do Rico tours. I do it all myself. When no one else was allowed in the house and we were the only ones allowed in, I took care of it and I learned how to do everything. And now I know all the stuff on the ground. I know all the facets of stuff that we might have delegated previously just because of the COVID limitations.
Yeah. But so that's my positive thinking.
Absolutely. I love that, Steve. And you know what? We found it in 2010 and 11, a whole new generation came into the industry and they somehow looked around. I don't know. They didn't relate to NAR or whatever. And they saw the Inman community and they related to the Inman community. And they are now our lifeblood. We started skewing younger and it's really quite beautiful. And the diversity, we just, you know, we took that so seriously and made sure that the stage reflected our reports, our reporters, because it was like, this is a colorful, fun industry. Like,
and you know what? You have fun. Literally connected to me to my Mind Hive group.
Yeah.
Like Chavi and Kim, Ann Jones, Marguerite.
Yeah. Rockstars.
Yeah, I mean, like really, but they're my network. They mean more to me than anything in real estate right now.
And well, so, you know who's in your fan club, Heather.
I know, but you I have make her, I just think I'm funny.
You can make her president. You know who's president of your fan club?
Who?
Teresa Boardman.
I love her. Her and her DIY surgeries. I'm all over it.
She had a great story today. A really good story. And I told her it's top of the fold, like we used to say in the newspaper world. She was the A spot in the headlines. And that's the one that gets a ton of readers. And
I love her.
I do too. We have come almost a daily dialogue going on.
I know. I watched. But anyway.
Well, listen, thank you so much. Any last words for anybody in Inmanville? You know, let it out now and keep coming on stage and keep participating in Inman. And also remember, we're here to help you if we can do anything.
You know what? One bit of advice, if you are a new agent, you're a seasoned agent, don't give up, keep on trying, don't give up. And if you don't know the solution, don't be afraid to ask. This is such a lone wolf business. And I think being alone makes you even feel more isolated and alone and wanting to give up. Seek out other people. There's a lot more people in your situation. Even the most seasoned agents think this could be it. I'm done. Don't be done. There's so much. We need the seasoned agents to teach our young agents the thing. There's certain behaviors that don't change. So just keep on moving, reach out. There's other people alone right now. And right now isolation's dangerous. So.
Oh, boy, Heather, you nailed it. I always tell this story. If you're standing from any country in the world in New York City with a map out and you're lost, every single New Yorker, no matter who, rich, poor, in between, they will stop and help you. And when you're standing with a map and you look confused and you look up with that look of help, people will help you. And I always say the real estate community, not only hang around with the winners, not the whiners, but second is to make sure that if you need help personally or otherwise, all you do is ask help. If I put help on Facebook, some people, you know, piss all over me. For the most part, everyone wants to help. If I put help in a subject line of an email, you know what people do? They naturally want to help you. Don't be afraid to ask for help, right, Heather?
Put your ego aside. This is not the time. Like, you're going to be so much stronger. It's not, you're not weak. It's a beautiful thing. So, and I, that's why I tell you, that's exactly what I do too. I we have the same mentality in that department.
You two are the best. And by the way, they're really good looking together. They're really a good looking couple. I bet they have beautiful children. Now, go ahead and leave them locked up for a couple hours and go have some dinner in the
cooler. We will.
Hey, Brad, don't, no. Thank you, Brad.
Yeah, love you. Bye.